Last Tuesday, the Church observed the 500th anniversary of the Great Reformation. On the 31st of October, 1517, Martin Luther, an Augustinian monk, nailed his 95 theses to the door of the chapel at Wittenberg Castle. Luther's main issue in the 95 theses was the indulgences. Folks, there are very few events that divided human history in the way the Reformation did. And today, in this homily, it is not my intention to criticize Martin Luther, to discuss indulgences, or to judge the 16th century church leaders. Historians and theologians will tell us this, though, that the schism caused by the Reformation could have been avoided. Now, depending on which side of history the Catholics and Protestants find themselves, they look at Reformation very differently. Yet, Catholics admit that perhaps the popes of the time, Julius II and Pope Leo X, misread the sign of the times. They were Renaissance popes. And as Renaissance popes, they were more interested in art, music, and architecture rather than paying serious attention to the needs of the flock. And of course, the rest is history. In many ways, the readings for this weekend are the most appropriate for the anniversary. Both the first reading and the gospel reading are critical of the religious leaders of the time. In the first reading, why does Malachi prophesy against the priests and the rulers? See, the people of Israel had just returned from the Babylonian exile, and Malachi was a post-exile prophet. The exile was interpreted by all the prophets to be the consequence of the infidelity of Israel's religious and political leaders. So when they came back, those who really cared about the nation wanted Israel to learn from its mistakes. Because the possibility of Israel returning to its old ways was as real as the exile itself. Unfortunately, and very unfortunately, this possibility eventually became a reality. Malachi, in today's first reading, is critical of the priests who colluded with the rich and the powerful of his time. And that is why he says about the partiality being shown. And the partiality is this. See, the covenant asked for unblemished animals to be offered in sacrifices. The priests, while they put the ordinary folks through that rigmarole and held them to that condition, in order to curry favor with the rich and the powerful, they accepted defective animals from them. And in this way, they dishonored the Lord and the covenant. What Malachi said in today's first reading, Jesus repeats in the gospel reading. He gets very critical of the Pharisees because they preach but do not practice. And all their works are performed to be seen by others. As he would say, they love places of honor at banquets, seats of honor in synagogues, greetings in marketplaces, and the salutation, Rabbi. And then Jesus, to his disciples, gives the most challenging teaching of all. He says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Folks, now I'm a priest and a religious leader, and the pastor of two parishes. If Jesus and Malachi were critical of the priests of the time, what are the implications of these readings for me? And I'm presuming that what is applicable to me is applicable to all of us in some way or the other. So here's my first point. I have been a priest now for 23 years. I was ordained a priest during the papacy of John Paul II. During my seminary years, I steeped myself into the study of scripture, of philosophy, and theology. I was a Redemptorist missioner then, and the charism of the Redemptorist congregation was to preach the gospel to the most abandoned. We were also taught that there will be times in which the gospel is harder to preach, and that it is easy to compromise the gospel message and dilute it to be popular or to avoid criticism. And I confess, there are times that I've fallen into that trap. However, if there's one thing that I've learned over the last 23 years, it is this: that the gospel and the message of Jesus Christ must be the standard by which I judge myself. To love like He loved, to stand uncompromisingly by the poor, the vulnerable, the weak, like Jesus did, to welcome those that are rejected, to be compassionate and merciful like Jesus was, to reject the trappings of power and wealth like Jesus did, to stand unflinchingly with what is right like He did. That is the test of my priesthood. I know I have failed many times, but I also know what the standard is that I must return to when I fail. And folks, perhaps this is a standard that each one of us must put ourselves under. Let me talk about my priestly life, or priest life in general. This is my second point. Like every other calling in life, priesthood too has its unique challenges. For one, a priest is on 24/7. And believe me, that's the hardest part of it. There's no break. There are other challenges. We act as counselors, spiritual directors, confessors, worship leaders, teachers, administrators, pastors, mediators, healers, and many other roles all at the same time. We are with people at the beginning of life and accompany people through the journey of life, from baptism to marriage to anniversaries. We are there when people fall ill, reach old age, and approach the end of their lives. We are there at the moment of death and finally commit people to their graves. We do all this realizing that we are ourselves human, weak, limited in our abilities, and prone to the same sins that you are. For most part, we live away from our families and sometimes feel very alone. But we discover a blessedness in all of this. Forbes magazine once had an article on the 10 happiest jobs in the country. On the top of the list were priests. And the reason? Less worldliness and a life dedicated to the service of others. By the way, the second happiest people were firefighters. So the second thing I have learned over the last 23 years is this: never tire giving myself to others. I must not forget that the greatest mission of all, as Jesus says in today's gospel reading, is to be the servant of all. I'm not there yet, but as I learned from Monsignor Nicholas Schneider and the end of my life, I must find myself well spent in service of Christ and His people. Now, my third point, a word about humility. Folks, the end of the gospel reading is the key to Christian living, whether you are a priest or not. And Jesus says, "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Here's the thing about humility, though. The moment we think we are humble, that is the precise moment that we stopped being humble. Humility is the hardest test of the gospel. The hardest thing for me to admit is that I'm not humble. And I really am not. I think of myself as loving, as compassionate, as kind, and giving, and very giving. But humble? I'm working on that. And I will let you know when I get there. If you want to know, though, that if you're humble, here is a good test. Look at the crucifix. If your heart and mind is like that man on the cross, then we are humble. Till then, let us keep working at it. Amen.